tossed aside the axe and rushed over to push up the garage doors. They rose with a squeal of tortured metal, and he stepped inside.
"Want a horse, do you? Fat Tom's got the best in the world."
"Highly doubtful."
Mildred wrinkled her nose at the smell of used hay and fish oil lanterns. A scrawny stable boy sat in the corner, polishing a saddle with spit and a wad of congealed grease. Mounds of dirty hay covered the stained concrete, and split rails sectioned the repair shop into a double row of small stalls. Horses of various colors stood in each, nibbling hay, and watching the humans with fearful expressions. Obviously, they were beaten into submission and not won over with kindness. Ryan immediately classified the stable owner as a coward. There was no other reason to beat animals who delighted in working for humans. Men with horses had conquered most of the old world because they enjoyed being together. J.B. tried diplomacy, all the time thinking he wouldn't want to store shit here.
"Not bad. How many do you have?"
10. The ones a sway back we'll be eating this winter, and 2 are colts not strong enough to carry a baby."
Walking among the animals, Ryan studied them carefully. Good legs and withers, no sign of split hooves or mange. Their coats were rough, with burrs caught in the tails. The horses needed a serious currying, but otherwise were in good health.
"We'll take them."
"Which 2? Or do you want 3, maybe?"
Her cascade of fiery hair gently waving, Christy held out a hand and stroked one of the nervous beasts. The animal instantly calmed and nuzzled her palm affectionately.
"We're buying all 7.
Fat Tom roared in laughter, his belly bouncing.
"Not even Baron Polk has that much, Jack. I need some for work in the fields. You gonna feed my family this winter?" "Thought not."
"Trade you."
J.B. dropped the duffel bag to the ground. The stable owner stroked his greasy chin.
Well, your redhead doesn't look like she has the coughing sickness. Of course, I'd want to inspect her first before taking a ride. But if she's any good, I'll trade you 2 horses for an hour with her."
"That's 59 minutes longer than you would be breathing."
Christie's blaster was already partially drawn. The man cackled and slapped a knee.
"Good one! She's a fire blast, that one. Redheads, gotta love 'em."
"Try again."
"Well, I'll trade 4 horses for that fancy scattergun, Four Eyes."
"In your dreams."
Fat Tom shrugged.
"Just talking, no offense meant."
Sensing the bargaining was getting serious, Ryan lowered his backpack to the floor and withdrew an oily blanket. Unwrapping the bundle, he hauled into view an AK-47 without a stock.
"Nuke me."
The man reached for the weapon, but drew his hands away before touching it.
"That a rapid fire?"
800 rounds a minute."
"Pfft, ain't that much ammo in the whole world."
Ryan didn't contradict the man.
"We have 2 clips, 1 with 10 live rounds, the other empty. Plus 50 spent rounds you can reload. The stock is gone, but you can whittle a new one."
"Oh, 10 rounds for a rapid fire. That's 1 trigger click. No deal. Besides, got a blaster. Made it myself."
Ryan had spotted the weapon hanging on the wall when they first entered. It was made of corroded iron pipes bound together with rusty barbed wire and leather straps. He doubted if the shotgun would work more than once without blowing apart. Suddenly, he knew the local was lying for some reason, and shifted his position to keep a watch on the garage doors. J.B. dropped the heavy duffel bag.
"Well, you haven't got one of these."
Squinting suspiciously, Fat Tom watched as J.B. opened the drawstrings and lifted out the roll of hide.
"Oh, I don't need a coat. Never gets bad cold down here."
With a flip, J.B. unrolled the skin, sending it across the floor of the stable, almost reaching the door.
"It's not a jacket, you fat fool. This is the hide of the gator from the swamp. That's 100 pairs of boots, plus gun belts and some jackets."
"No, it can't be."
Tom touched the wide expanse of hoary skin in disbelief.
You chilled Frankenstein!
Just a gator. A dead gator.
Licking his lips, the stable owner looked at the companions.
Well, now, that is a lot of strong leather. Yeah, sure, I'll trade you 7 horses for old Frank.
Plus tack.
The chestnut mare was licking Christie's palm. She had already decided on which horse she would ride.
Of course, of course.
Fat Tom fingered the hide. Even marked with scars, burns, and bullet holes, the durable skin was still beautiful. And flexible. He could probably make bulletproof vests from the stuff and sell them to barons for a fortune. Ammo, food, and sluts till he died.
Anything you want. Saddles and reins, blankets too. I wouldn't want to cheat you on the trade now. Fair deal time, that's me. Ask anybody above the soil.
With instincts honed in 100 trades, Ryan knew that was too much too fast. The hide had to be worth a hell of a lot more than they thought possible. He decided to test the limits of the deal.
8, plus tack, plus feed.
But there's only 7 of you.
And we'll need 1 to haul supplies.
Oh, use the boy. He's young and strong. Why burden a horse? Good God, they're expensive.
The stable boy was cowering, and new shadows appeared on the wall from people standing in the doorway.
Incoming.
Tom scratched his head.
What's that mean, huh?
I know.
JB pulled the Uzi in front of him. Doc crossed his arms and rested a hand on the Lamar.
Could be friendlies.
There came the click-clack of a blaster, and Ryan spun, shooting from the hip, just as the man with the shotgun fired. A sprinkling of buckshot took Ryan in the shoulder as he dived for cover. Fat Tom started pleading as the stocky man in the doorway fired again. Blowing the plump man off the floor.
3, 2, 1.
Ryan stood. In unison, the companions unleashed a volley of lead. Torn to pieces, the attacker fell into the trough, the scattergun breaking in two as it hit the ground. A line of holes in the trough began to leak water. Then a flurry of arrows hissed into the stable, thudding into the split rails, posts, and walls.
There's more.
Christie snapped off several shots. Nearby, Fat Tom lay dead on the floor, his guts splattered over the wall and dribbling onto his shocked face. Crouched behind a bale of hay, JB shoved the Uzi over the top and fired a short spray. A man cried out, but it sounded fake.
It's the assholes from the tavern.
Bitch, dancing feta.
No, this is my fault. I wasn't paying attention for once. Not a blaster in sight here, and we come waltzing in with an arsenal. Of course somebody's gonna try and chill us.
An axe flew between the horses and slammed into the floor, biting inches into the wood, missing Doc's hand by a hair. He withdrew quickly.
They will try.
Doc watched the doorway that led to the living quarters. A figure darted into view, and he snapped off a shot from the Lama, catching the man in the throat. Clutching his shredded flesh, the man stumbled and fell, quietly bleeding to death in the doorway. The horses were whinnying in fear, making it hard to hear movements outside.
You there. Boy!
Christie was crawling on her belly.
Where's the back door?
Ain't got one. Just the front.
Ladder to the hayloft?
The what?
Where you store the hay.
The boy gestured at the floor. In understanding, Christie cursed the slovenly stable owner. There was no way out, and they were trapped in a tinderbox.
Sure hope they don't want to burn us out.
That would chill the horses.
JB fired at the ground and hit a booted foot. The owner screamed, fell into view, and was chilled.
They can't get us, and we can't leave. It's a standoff.
So what do we do?
Dean slid a fresh clip into his gun. Surrendering their blasters wasn't an option. They would only get chilled afterward as the Coldhearts laughed at their stupidity.
Change rules.
Jack held his breath as he fired his .357 Magnum pistol. A rope overhead snapped, and the first door to the garage rolled to the ground in a loud crash. The teenager tried the same trick again, but the second door only slid halfway before getting stuck. The third didn't move an inch.
Use the horses.
Ryan wriggled between the rails of a stall. The nervous animal reared at his presence, but Ryan soothed the horse with soft words. When it was calm, he laid a sack of feed across its back, then draped over a blanket, cinching it tight with some reins. Moving quickly, the others did the same. Then, whooping and firing their blasters, they chased the beasts out of the stable. The horses stampeded for freedom, charging into the street past the waiting gang of Coltharts.